That was great. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 34 tonight. Genesis chapter 34. We're traveling through this book together, and we've come to this chapter. Genesis chapter 34. Let me remind all the deacons about our deacons meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. That's a little bit awkward, I know that, because I do not want to take you away from your family for another night, and I do not do that often, but we've got a lot to go over. So if you can possibly be here tomorrow night at 6:30, then you do that. If you cannot, we understand, but if you can, you be here at 6:30, all the deacons. Genesis 34, verse number 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. When Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her, lay with her, and defiled her. Look at verse number 5. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Look at verse 13. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully and said, because he had defiled Dinah their sister. Verse 27. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. In all four of those verses, we see the word defiled in connection with Dinah. And tonight I preach to you on Dinah's defilement. Dinah's defilement. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness to us. Pray that you'll speak to our heart in a very real way. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. Help me to be very discreet. And Lord, I pray tonight that you help me not to say one thing that is displeasing. May everything be said according to the will of God. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. In the previous chapter, we saw Esau and Jacob finally meeting after 20 years of being apart. That meeting was an emotional meeting that we preached on last week between these two brothers. And as that meeting came to a close, if you remember, we saw Esau going in one direction while Jacob turned and went in the other direction. And the last we saw Jacob, he had pitched his tent before a city in Shechem. Now this chapter begins here and brings out one of the most horrific scenes in the entire Word of God. Now I'm not going to bring out everything in this chapter because I want you to read it for yourself. And I've got to be very discreet tonight because there are children in the building. You understand what I'm saying to you. Jacob's daughter Dinah went out to see the women of that land. And while she went out into that city, a man named Shechem took her and took advantage of her to the point that the Bible said he defiled her. Now this word defiled here means to humble her. Now this same word is used again in verses 5, 13, and 27. But in verses 5, 13, and 27, it has a different meaning. The meaning in those verses means to be unclean, contaminated, or polluted. Shechem was one of high position in verse number 2. He was well known in this city, if you will, and he was one of popularity in verse number 19. Matter of fact, just look at verse number 2. It says, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her. In other words, his daddy's the prince, if you will, here. And then in verse number 19, we see, and the young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. We see he was a man of position and a man of popularity. And my friends, let me just say this. He should have used these things to fulfill the will of God, but instead he used his position and he used his popularity in selfish ways. And I'm telling you tonight that he should have used his position and popularity to promote character, but instead he used it to promote corruption. One man put it this way, those whom God makes elevated in station should make themselves eminent in virtue. Goodness should always accompany greatness. However, this was not the case in Shechem's life. Now, it's this sin against Dinah that had truly defiled her life. It's this sin that I want us to dwell on tonight. Now, relax if you're a parent, because I'm dwelling here on sin in general. Now, the parents understand the sin we're talking about, but in general, we're talking about sin all around. Because as we notice any kind of sin, there are certain things we see about Dinah's defilement that we can apply to any sin in our own life. Let me give you three major things tonight with a couple of things under some of them. Number one, let's notice the causes of Dinah's defilement.
Now, you'll agree with me that what happened to Dinah, adults here, you'll agree with me that that was a wicked sin before the eyes of God. Amen or not, friends? Sure it was. But let me tell you something. It didn't just happen. This sin didn't just drop out of the sky and nobody saw it coming. There were causes that caused this. There were some things that took place around this sin that helped cause the defilement of this daughter named Dinah. Matter of fact, there are two major causes I see in our text. Cause number one, here it is now, her father set up camp outside of the will of God. Her father set up camp outside of the will of God. I've already preached this, but going back to it, the latter part of chapter 33, we see and we're reminded how Jacob moved his family to Succoth. And then later, he pitched his tent. Sounds a whole lot like Lot, if you ask me. He pitched his tent to this city of Shechem. Now, this has been called a compromise. Here's why it's a compromise. Shechem was not Bethel. God told Jacob, get back to Bethel. And may I say this to you? He may be going in the right direction, but he's camping out too long outside of the will of God. And here's what I'm saying to you here. Even though he did not dwell in this city, he did pitch his tent before it. And when he pitched his tent before this city, he was thereby exposing his family to that ungodly place. One man put it this way, one of the commonest of Satan's ruses is to draw the believer within sight of the world, where he will pitch his tent and finally settle down to some working arrangement with the world. Another man put it this way, if Jacob had gone to Bethel instead of settling down by Shechem, it would have eliminated, get this now, it would have eliminated the opportunity for Dinah to become defiled in Shechem and would have prevented the brutal massacre of Shechem, but Jacob delayed his obedience and that delay cost him greatly. It teaches us the peril of living in the wrong place and in choosing a place because of its material advantages and not because of its spiritual advantages. May I say to you tonight that this bad society, that this daddy chose to pitch his tent toward it, expose his family to it, this bad society involved very serious risk for his family. The point here that I'm trying to make is that her own father placed her in a place where she never should have been in the first place. This doesn't mean that the will of God is free from risk, because there's risk even in the will of God. But the will of God is free from exposure to gross wicked sin against Almighty God. Make sure your family camps out in the middle of the will of God. If not, they will be exposed to wickedness and potential hurt in their own life. The causes of Dinah's defilement. Cause number one, her father set up camp outside of the will of God. Cause number two, Dinah's lack of separation. We see this in verse number one. Notice it. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. May I remind you that her daddy is not in that land? He's pitched his tent toward that land. But his daughter is becoming curious. So there came a day when she left home, and she goes to see the daughters of the land. Now the common consensus in my study is that Dinah is around the age of 15. Listen up, teenagers. Dinah in this chapter is believed to be a teenager. And may I tell you that she has become curious of the other ladies in that land. Let me say this to you, friends. There is great danger in curiosity to see the world. One man put it this way, Dinah's failure is a great warning to young people about fraternizing with the world. Dinah felt the tug of the worldly fellowship and yielded to it and paid a terrible price. She was not content to stay in the confines of a more holy atmosphere, but she learned that when you lie down with dogs, you will rise up with fleas. By running with a worldly crowd, Dinah came into contact with unprincipled people who had little respect or consideration for high moral
principles. She was in the wrong place.
Her daddy exposed her to it. He didn't move her inside the confines of it, but he did pitch his tent toward it, so she was exposed to it, and the devil got a foothold in her life. Boy, it looks good down there. Listen to that music down there. Look at all that. And she got so curious that as a 15-year-old, she didn't want to be at home anymore. She wanted to go down and see for herself what was going on. And she went down there to see the daughters of that land. It carries the idea. She wanted to get closer to them. She wanted to have fellowship with them. But she found out that in that land outside of the will of God, there was a man by the name of Shechem who didn't know God, care about God, had no moral principles. And I'm telling you that she paid a high price for her lack of separation. By the way, let me say this. There is no mention of Jacob and her mother stopping this venture. Let me say this to you. There are some commentators who condemn Jacob for not stopping her. I'm not going to condemn him because the Bible is unclear whether he knew she did this or not. In other words, the Bible did not say Jacob did not restrain her. The Bible did not say that Jacob and Leah saw her but said, just go have a good day, honey. It's possible that she snuck out. You understand what I'm saying to you? But here is what I'm going to apply. We can all learn a great lesson here, parents. You know what it is? We can learn the valuable lesson not to let your teenager wander off into the world with no restrictions. Not to let your teenager wander off into the world with no standards. Parents, listen up to me. Teenagers, you're going to turn against me here. I hope not, but just turn a deaf ear if you won't. You cannot trust your teenager. And the moment you trust them, you're condemning them. Let me tell you why you can't trust them, because you can't trust yourself either. I want you to look here, right here, please. I don't trust me. I don't trust my flesh. The Bible says put no confidence in the flesh. And if you ever fall prey, parents, of saying, my child would never do that, you don't understand the sinful nature. If they are given the opportunity, they can do anything an unbeliever can do. I'll amen myself, our friends. I'm telling you, they are human just like you. Don't trust them to the point that they can go out to see the daughters of the land with no restrictions and no standards. Set some boundaries. Have a backbone and set some boundaries. Our hands are full at our house. Judson's doing very great. He really is. He's not perfect, but that baby girl, I'm telling you, it's on at our house, friends. It's on. I'm not kidding. I love that girl. Take a bullet between my eyes for her, but she's as hard-headed as the Rock of Gibraltar out here. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've seen it. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Listen to me now. She don't understand this. She's in this service, I think. She's not run out on us, has she, Becky? She's in this service. My son needs to hear this too. As long as they put their feet under the table at our house, they will abide by our rules or else. You say that's harsh. No, it's not. God has rules for you, doesn't he? God set boundaries for you, hasn't he? We need to set boundaries for our kids. Somebody says, I don't want to lose them. You will lose them if you don't have boundaries for them. And I'm telling you tonight, if true love sets boundaries, it really does. I'm not talking about being to the point that they can't sneeze twice. But you ought to have some boundaries. You ought to have some standards in your life. I am not God. I'm not the leader of your home. All I can do is give you advice. In other words, men, God's going to hold you responsible. And let me say this to you as well. If the lady's the one holding the standards, that is out of line biblically. That is out of line biblically. It ought to be a team effort. And the men ought to set the standards. Now, if the men are too weak to do it, excuse me now, then God bless the ladies who step up and try to get it done. Then you wonder why the teenage boys rebel when the daddy's not on board. I'm telling you, you know what I've learned? You'd go about it God's way, and God blesses it. You try to do it your way, and you'll have heartache. You know what's great?
last night in the service, when you see some of our own teenagers, I'm thinking of one young man, right? And I'm not going to call his name. I don't want to embarrass him. But I'm thinking of one young man right now. God broke him last night. He came to the altar weeping. Teenager. He knows who I'm talking to. That encouraged my heart. Don't ever lose that young man. And I'm going to tell you something. It's good when God works on your teenager. This is a teenage girl we're talking about here. Number one, the causes of it. Number two, the condemnation of it. It's not only the causes of Dinah's defilement, but number two, the condemnation of Dinah's defilement. Look at the language in verse number 7. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel, in line with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. When Jacob's sons came out of the field, when they heard the news of this wicked sin that happened to Dinah, they were grieved and they got mad. But notice how the word of God goes on in this verse to say, because Shechem had wrought folly in Israel. Then it goes on to say, which thing ought not to be done. You know what that word folly means? It means foolishness. That's what it means. Look it up. It means foolish, wicked, and vile. In other words, he's saying this, the word of God, it's not Jacob's sons making this statement. It doesn't say that Jacob's son says it's folly and Jacob's son says it ought not to be done. No, the word of God says when Jacob's sons came out, they were grieved and mad because he had wrought folly, which thing ought not to be done. Here's what I'm saying to you. This is a strong condemnation of this sin. In this verse, we see this particular sin. The adults know what I'm talking about. We see this particular sin, as well as sin in general, is condemned in the Word of God as being both foolish and forbidden. It's foolish. It's folly. It ought not to be done. It's forbidden. Having relations that are given for married couples, friends, it may be condoned by Hollywood, but it is strongly condemned by God. There's a man that put it this way, it sacrifices the favor of God, the peace of conscience, and all the soul can pretend to that is sacred and honorable to a base and brutish lust. Hebrews 13:4, let's let the word of God speak. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Interesting, we're talking about Dinah's defilement. And yet the Bible says in marriage the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. This sin of having relations outside of the marriage covenant is strongly condemned by the God of heaven. Number one, we notice the causes of her defilement. We notice the condemnation of her defilement. But number three, let's notice the call in her defilement. It's interesting, in verses 8 to 10, notice what happened. And Hamor, now this is Shechem's son. This is Shechem's father. Shechem is the one who defiled Dinah. This is his daddy. Notice, and Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade you therein, and get your possessions therein. Boy, I had a different point here, and God changed it when I was typing. I had a different point. And God said, that's not it. Here's what it is. I mean, I'm typing my message, getting ready to put something else instead of the call. I had something else there, and God said, this is it. And here's what it is. Notice what happened. After Shechem had defiled Dinah, Shechem wanted to marry her. The problem is this. Shechem is a Hivite. He's a Canaanite. And God had already commanded no intermarriage with the Canaanites. Get this. Shechem's dad came to Jacob's sons and told them how his son longed for Dinah. My son loves your daughter. Gag me with a fork, friends. He then called for them to Dinah. He called for them to give Dinah to Shechem as his wife. Get this. Notice it. There is no talk saying that what his son did was wrong. He never one time said, forgive my boy, he sinned. He's condoning it. Now notice what happened here.
Here's what he's doing. Here's what God showed me. You know what Hamer's calling for? Hamer's saying, go further. You've already gone this far. Go further. Go deeper. Well, I'm telling you, this is a powerful thought coming out here, friends. Here's what he's saying. He's calling for further commitment to this sinful relationship. This father then called for more intermarriages to take place. He said, hey, don't just let it stop with Dinah. All of you can marry with us and let us marry your daughters. You read it yourself. That's what he's saying. Then he proceeded to tell them, here's why you can do it. Because if you do this, we're going to let you live in the land. And in this land, you can buy and trade. And you can have what this land has to offer. You listening? He was saying, go further and you'll find what your heart's been looking for. However, we see in verse number 23, look at verse 23. After they made this conspiracy against these men, I'm talking about Jacob's sons, now Hamor and Shechem are speaking to the men of that city. Now, what did Hamor tell them? If you do this, we're going to give you the land. You can have everything we have. But notice what he said when he's talking to the men of that land. Shall not their cattle be, and their substance, and every beast of theirs be, what? Ours. In other words, he's promising, you come here to live with us. You will get. But the whole time he has a conniving spirit, we're going to take everything you've got. Does that sound like anybody to you, friends? Does that sound like something else to you? Is this not how sin always works? It condones what's already been done, and it offers further fulfillment if you go deeper. The devil will promise you success when all along he's wanting to strip you for everything you have. Hamer, when he's talking to Jacob's sons, is trying to butter them up and say, hey, if you just come ahead and commit further, if you just let us intermarry and all that, you can have everything that you want here. But then when they're gone, he says, hey, they think we're going to give them everything we have. In reality, we're going to get everything they have. This is what's going on here. It's the call. Keep coming. There's more here. You'll have a lot more if you keep coming. You know what I want to be? I want to be a preacher that condemns what God condemns. I want to be a preacher that preaches against sin when God preaches against it. You know how you do it? Preaching through books. You hit it when God hits it. I'm telling you this. Say no to the call of the world. Say no to the call of the flesh. And say no to the call of the devil. It will tell you it's okay. The world will never apologize to you. What we did was wrong. It'll only offer more satisfaction if you keep coming. When the Word of God plainly says there's pleasures in sin for a season. I like what Dr. Alton Beale said this morning in the Home Builder Sunday School class. He was applying this to the marriage, and I thought the way he applied this was great. He said back in Genesis, God made a box. That box is called marriage. And if you stay within the box, it's wonderful. It's great. It's a blessing. But if you step outside that box, you've got trouble. Somebody here tonight, you're a married couple and you're having problems. You may never say it. You may never come for help. But in your own heart, you know right now, yes, that's me. We've got problems. Let me tell you what the problem is. Somebody in that relationship is outside the box. That doesn't mean that they're looking elsewhere. It could mean that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. It could be a heart attitude. You're outside the box. Stay in the box, friends. May I say this to you? When you stay in the box of God's will, it's wonderful.
There's peace in that box. There's true satisfaction and contentment in that box. You know what Dinah's problem was? She wanted out of the box. She didn't know about Shechem being there, but God did. If you expose yourself to the world, you will suffer the consequences. There's a fourth thing that we see. I said three things. I've got four things. I'm sorry, I can't count. Number one, the causes of her defilement. The causes were her daddy set up camp outside of the will of God, and Dinah got curious about the world. The condemnation of Dinah's defilement, God's word said it's folly and it's forbidden. It's foolish and it should not be done. The call in Dinah's defilement is, hey, there's no apology given to her. There's no apology given to her brothers. No apology given to her daddy. Just a call to keep coming further. You've gone this far, just go a little bit further now. And if you do, you'll have everything this land has to offer. When all along, the one who promises you fulfillment is the same one who wants what you have. Wants to strip you. Number four, we notice the concern after Dinah's defilement. This is a challenge to my heart. I'm not going to take time to read it, but in verses 13 to 31, again, I encourage you to read this later. Because I'm a pastor, I'm trying to be very discreet, all of this, and I want you to understand where I'm coming from. But in these verses, here's what takes place. I'm just paraphrasing some things. Once Jacob's sons heard the offer from Shechem's father to intermarry with them, these sons answered them, the Bible said, deceitfully. That's the word to choose. They answered them deceitfully. And here's what they used. They used the religious sign given to the Jewish nation. This was God's religious sign given to the Jew. You can read what that sign was. Given to the Jewish nation. They said, we cannot intermarry with you because you are not marked like we are. They're very deceitful. They're using religion to cover up their own evil design and to take advantage of these men. Now on the third day, the Bible says the men were sore. They had surgery. And they're sore. And while they are sore from having surgery and they cannot protect themselves, Simeon and Levi grab a sword and go through the city and kill all the males. What a horrific scene. Killed all the males. Took all the women and children captives. And even the other brothers are getting in on the spoils. It's awful. Just ungodliness. Honestly. There was tremendous bloodshed that day. By the way, these boys weren't fighting for holiness. They were fighting for their own honor. This wasn't God's will. And I'm telling you here that there was tremendous bloodshed caused by this act of immorality. By the way, a man put it this way, where you have disrespect for the beginning of life, that's having relations outside of the marriage ceremony, there will also be disrespect for the ending of life. Little will be found in the news media about the fact that immorality is behind the bloody destruction of many societies. But the Bible lets us know plenty about this truth. Shechem's immorality led to bloody violence and death of many. David's immorality with Bathsheba brought about the death of Bathsheba's husband Uriah. Amnon's immorality with his half-sister Tamar resulted in Amnon being murdered by Tamar's brother Absalom. The immorality of Herod and Herodias led to the bloody death of John the Baptist. And may I say this to you now? Immorality is still leading to bloodshed. It's called abortion. Immorality leads to bloodshed. It's put down right here. Governments say we need more money to stop crime, but the Bible says we need more morality. Governments say we need more programs to stop bloodshed, but the Bible says we need more purity. These boys took matters into their own hands. They took their vengeance out on the men of that place. Blood was shed as a result of Dinah's defilement.
Would you agree with me that this entire chapter, it's despicable to even read about it, honestly. What a horrific sin that takes place in Dinah's life. And as a result of that, this ungodly bloodshed going throughout all this and using religion as a cover-up. We can't marry you because you've not done what God said to do. And they use God's own words, if you will, paraphrasing, to get their own way. Would you agree with me that this whole chapter is despicable? Would you agree with that tonight, friends? The defilement of Dinah and the way her brothers responded to it? You say, Jody, you've not got to your point, the concern. What's the concern? Well, while we should all be brokenhearted, that the heart of God must have been breaking during this chapter. I want to show you how Jacob responded. Notice his concern. And notice his language. It's found in verse number 30. When this takes place, notice how Jacob responded. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled who? Me. Notice this now. Mark all these personal pronouns. Ye have troubled me to make, here it is, me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, there it is, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed. I and my house. All these kind of things. Jacob is concerned about one person, and it's his own reputation. Read it. Do you hear anything about his daughter? Nothing. He never one time said, my daughter has been defiled. He never one time even mentions her. His concern was himself. You know what somebody said? Many only complain when it's personal. Our hearts should be concerned that God's heart breaks. Not just be concerned when we think our reputation's at stake. Let me ask you a question. If your son or your daughter kicked the traces, God forbid this now, but if they kicked the traces and they start living in a sinful lifestyle, are you more concerned about God's name or yours? Are you more concerned about what God thinks or what that neighbor says about you? We all struggle with this, friends. I want my heart to break when God's does. Not because it hurts my name, because it hurts His. I'm telling you tonight, it's interesting in this chapter that sin is all throughout this chapter. And here's something that came out in my study. You read through this entire chapter and God's not mentioned one time. He's not mentioned in this chapter. You will not find His name. You know what that goes to show? That when God is left out, man becomes grossly wicked and self-centered. Sin is grossly wicked and devastating. Here's my plea to the church, to the teenagers. Stay close to the heart of God. There is nothing good that comes from sin. It'll destroy your life. And if you catch yourself pitching your tent towards Shechem, or if you catch yourself tonight, you've already wandered away from your tent because you've gotten a little bit curious about this. It could be your music. It could be a number of things. It could be who you're dating. I don't know what it is. Whatever the case may be, it could be television programs. I don't know. Just let God speak to your heart. If you've already wandered away and you've gotten curious, you want to see more down there. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Get back to the box
get in the center of God's will. Because you may be enjoying it now, but you come see me in 5 or 10 years and see if you're still singing the same tune. There is nothing compares to living for Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that is going to give you satisfaction outside of the will of Almighty God. Stay close to God. Teenagers, I love you. You know that. You joke with me. You didn't think I heard you when I, you know, right there before the church service, whenever the children's choir came up, these precious girls, they're so precious. They said, "Hey, look, Pastor Jody, they're getting about to be the size that you are." I heard that. Yes. It's these two. Would you all I'm just kidding with you. Yes. Brother Cox, yes, your daughter's one of them. Miss Ball, yes, your daughter is the other one. Hey, we have fun, don't we? Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you something. I love these kids too much to tell them, don't go to Shechem. Go to Bethel. Hey, when's Bethel come? In the next chapter. Whew. Can't wait to get to it, can you? Dinah's defilement. Let's learn these lessons and apply them to our heart. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for tonight. Help us to be faithful. Challenge us from your word, I pray. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I ask you this question tonight. Are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? You know without a doubt that heaven is your eternal abode. If not, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel, how Jesus bled and died for you, was buried and rose again. Maybe tonight you're challenged because maybe you've been wandering outside of the box. Hey, it doesn't have to be a mile outside. It could just be one step outside. If you're one step or 1 mile out, you're in danger. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about you just being curious about the world. I'm asking, where's your tent tonight? Is it pitched in Bethel? Or is it pitched towards Shechem? Whatever it is. You know what would be great tonight? I think it'd be great tonight. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I want you to follow the Lord. Ask the Lord if He's in this. But if you have a teenager in this auditorium, because Dinah, it's common consensus now that she was a teenager, I think it'd be great for moms and dads to find their teenager. Bring them to the altar and say, God, help my teenager to stay out of Shechem. And help me as a parent to make sure that we don't pitch our tent that puts them in an opportunity to do that. Wouldn't it be great for parents with their teenagers coming and asking God to help them? Hey, wouldn't it be great for parents to bring their children of any age, some of these younger children, parents, bring your kids and say, we want to live in Bethel, not among the Shechemites, if you will. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought, use it. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. As soon as he begins to sing, teenager, has God spoken to you? Parent, get your teenager. Come, let's talk to God. Bring your children as he sings. Come now, would you do it?
There is a
stay
place
out of Shechem.
Of quiet rest.
Get to Bethel.
Near to the heart.
Stay in the heart of Bethel.
A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus,
I want you parents just to stay up here with your teenager.
Redeemer,
we'll pray in just a moment.
Sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart.
Still standing, I'd like you to look this way. They're playing through something. As the parents get done, I want you to stay right where you're at, please. Stay right there at the altar. We'll have our closing prayer here in just a moment with you here at the altar. When you get done praying, I'd like you just to stand right in your place and just look right here at me. But you pray as long as it takes. Isn't it good to have parents who love their children and want them to go in God's direction? And I'm going to tell you something. You know what preaching is? It's Bible counseling. That's all it is. I believe it was Lester Roloff. I think I'm right by saying this. Somebody said, do you have a counseling ministry? And listen, our office doors open 24 hours a day to you. You need us any time of the day you call us, we'll be there for you. But I think it was a man like that. I believe it was Lester Roloff. He said this: I counsel 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you come and put into practice what you hear on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you'll be just fine.
Yes.
I'm honored to be your pastor. I love you, even if you call me short. I'm kidding. I appreciate you, parents. Appreciate Brother Bob Mann working so hard with these teenagers. His dear wife. They're doing a great job, and I appreciate that. We're going to pray here. And as we pray, I want us all to pray, God, help my family to get to Bethel and stay in Bethel. Hey, young people, you know who you need to date? Those that you find in Bethel. You don't have to go outside of Bethel to find God's will. You know where I found my wife? In Bethel. In the will of God. You think God says, hey, I don't know anything about it. I guess you're going to have to go to Shechem to find you a mate because I'm just not big enough to put one in Bethel for you. Hogwash. Trash. You want to have a happy marriage? You want to have a great marriage? You want to have a marriage that 50 years from now you're rejoicing in Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, find it, get to Bethel, and look in the confines of Bethel. Somebody amen me there, friends. Hey, I'll say it myself. That's pretty good preaching right there. Not because I said it, because it's biblical. I'm telling you, I hope you know that you got a pastor that loves you. I'm going to give it to you straight, friends. I'm going to give it to you straight. But I remind you, I'm giving to myself at the same time. Let's all get to Bethel. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Please bless these teenagers. Bless their parents. Bless the parents of the younger children who are here. Help my wife and I to do this as well in our home. And help our children, please, not to look outside of Bethel, but to stay in Bethel. May the will of God be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. I've been asked to dismiss all the junior parents. If you're going to that meeting, all current 3rd through 5th graders, all the parents and children, if you'll go out first, and we'll give them just a brief head start here, that meeting. God bless you, friends. Love you. You're dismissed. Be back on Wednesday night if you can. Those sermons are available out there if you want a copy. If you're coming to the prayer breakfast, please sign up your name out there on the bulletin board, please.